Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. All right, crew. I have people ask sometimes why Pure Dog Talk? What's in it for me? So, our Pure Dog Talk patrons have some thoughts to share with you. Karen Cowdrey, go for it.
Pure Dog Talk is one of Team Blackfire's most treasured and valuable tools. On those long drives, it is great to tune into some of the podcasts I've missed being busy or revisit my top favorites list and glean new bits of information every time. As a dedicated preservation breeder, a professional handler, and dog trainer, as well as instructor and coach of owner handlers, I love the wide array of topics covered by Pure Dog Talk. Think of a topic, and if Laura Reeves, the voice of Pure Dog Talk, hasn't covered it yet, she will cover it next. There is no other resource I can so easily recommend to my clients and friends that has so much valuable information, all for free for the listener. Another great aspect is that it can be accessed 24/7, 365 days a year. You can learn on your schedule. Better yet, for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can become a patron and help keep the great information rolling in. As a patron, you get extra interviews and inside scoops too, my favorite part. Laura, as the voice of Pure Dog Talk, has the unique ability to combine her decades of breeder, handler, trainer, along with her journalism background to bring forward the interviews and information that real dog lovers of all experience levels find useful, enlightening, entertaining, and downright helpful. We love Pure Dog Talk at Team Blackfire.
Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and this is part two of a very interesting and thought-provoking and challenging conversation. This is a panel discussion on the topic of specialty shows versus all breed shows, and why some breeders are sort of voting with their entries on this topic, and what the differences are, and why it's important, and what we as breeders and exhibitors and judges and everybody involved can do to make this better or to use it as a powerful tool for improving our breeds. So my guests today are very wonderful people that I am so grateful have joined us. Marcy Fine is a collie breeder. David Alexander, many of you will know, is a judge and a breeder of Bull Terriers. And Jason Nikolai is a breeder of Staffordshire Bull Terriers. And all three of these are breeds that are pretty well known for having a, not quite a split, but definitely a division of labor, if you will, in terms of liking to show their dogs, if not exclusively, primarily at specialty shows. And if you didn't have a chance, you can take a listen to part one that we did last week. One of the things that I think is very important about Pure Dog Talk, and something that I mentioned to you guys when we spoke about this and put this together, I think it's important to identify areas of concern in our sport, but I think it's equally important to identify solutions and to talk about things that we as breeders and listeners and judges and whoever's out there in listener land can do. And one of the things I want to talk about is what David mentioned, which is the moderation of potential extremes. And I also would like to discuss, and feel free to pitch into this wherever I get to you, the idea that if we only show these really outstanding specimens of fabulous breed type and incredible style at specialties, how are those of us at the all breed shows supposed to learn? So you've set up this sort of double whammy, right? So David, I want to go to you on that. And it's sort of a two-part question, the moderating influence and the importance of people being able to see dogs of the quality that you're presenting at specialties.
Well, that's exactly the case. And, you know, when you qualify for another breed that's not your own, for example, and that's really what we're talking about here, when you label us as all breed judges, judging your own breed, you have to continue to learn. You're not the finished article once you've gone through the education process that AKC lays out for us. So it's important to realize that you're only at the, really at the start of that, because the ultimate learning tool is to get your hands on a dog and to continue to do that. In other words, to continue your education beyond that which it takes to just judge the breed initially. So that's part of this process, and it's important to do that. And if you don't do it, then that's what leads to this sort of lack of confidence that breed people have in you as an all-breed judge. I mentioned earlier on that we have three non-breeder judges that are allowed to do the ROM shows for Bull Terriers. And in their cases, they've shown that interest, if you will. Mm-hmm. They come to specialties. They come to our national specialties. They talk to people. They've shown the way that they judge the dog that they have a good handle on what they're looking for. So that's an important element of how we can handle this situation. And it's not an easy thing to do, because continuing education like that, and especially getting your hands on dogs, I mean, you won't be able to do that if people are not going to show up at regular shows.
Yes.
And that's the situation we're in right now with respect to Bull Terriers. The judges don't see them at regular shows.
And I think that that's really important to emphasize and think about and sort of talk about from your guys' perspective about how do we find that tipping point, right? Because let's say I want to learn to judge Bull Terriers. I have been taught as a handler, as a breeder, and as a judge, the only way to learn a breed and to appreciate a great one of the breed is to be able to see great ones of the breed. And if I am not allowed to see them because they are not brought to an all-breed dog show, and the only way I can see an incredibly great Bull Terrier is to go to Silverwood, that's great. But at some point, what is the limitation on that?
Sort of pose the question, aren't the majority of the specialties held in conjunction with all breed shows? That is the case with our breed, at least. I would assume that's the same with the exception of Silverwood. With Bull Terriers, for instance, they are at all breed shows.
Some of them, yes. Marcy, how are collies handled?
With collies, probably 90% of our specialties are independent specialties.
Right, right.
The only specialties,
really? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only specialties you see anymore at all breed shows are clubs that can no longer afford to find independent show sites.
Right.
And there's usually two or three members. It's a dying breed club. And let's see, Knoxville has a weekend where they'll have two concurrent specialties along with the two or three all breed shows. I think there's only two now in Knoxville. But other than that, we pride ourselves in having independent specialties, and it becomes very difficult when the show site costs $1,000 and our entries are down to less than 100 now. So we're between the rock and the hard place right now in trying to find out how to do this, because the all breed clubs generally won't give us a specialty judge. They want us to come and show to the judges that they've already got on their panel, and we're like, oh, no.
Well, and Marcy, I think that that is a question of actually just working with the right clubs. Honestly, I hire for specialties. And if you're willing to pay for your judge to come in, they don't care. And if it's somebody that they can pick up on the panel, they will. But I think that's actually a management piece. But I wanted to continue on this line a little bit about the balance and what can become extremes. So I wished, and we tried, Lorelei and I tried to get a shepherd breeder, because I really would have loved to speak to some of the German shepherd dog people, because they too have independent specialties, like you're talking about with the collies, Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I've personally witnessed, just as, you know, I had people with dogs in my handling classes, and the German Shepherd dog has a specialty type, and it has an all breed type, and it has a Seeger type. And so are you guys, as breeders, are you seeing that sort of, if you will, almost split in your breed as you develop dogs that meet certain standards in different situations? Thoughts on that?
We don't really see that division, if you will, between, you know, dogs that are bred, let's say, for showing under all breeds. There are good and bad Bull Terriers, but they're not the subtypes. And I mean, we have subtypes in the breed, but they're more the way the breed was formed initially rather than the way the breed's developing right now. So as far as Bull Terriers are concerned, no, I don't see that.
Okay, good. Jason?
We have a definite divide in that we have certain styles of dogs that you look at and you know that the dog is, it's either going to win under all breed judges or it's going to win under specialists, but it's very, very rare that you get a Stafford that's going to win under both all breed and breed specialists at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's very, very rare that you'll get one that'll win under both. It's okay. Either one or the other. I can think of two cases in recent years where one has done exceptionally well under both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marcy, your thoughts on that?
Well, we don't have quite the division between all breed shows and specialties in breed type. We have families of dogs that have different styles
right.
rather than type. And
right.
there's a difference between the two words.
Yep.
But our national club has what's called the Hawkins system, which ranks dogs rather than Canine Chronicle or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a minimum of 20 entries for the breed points to count towards number one or number two or whatever it is.
Oh, that's and fascinating. So, I love that.
Yeah. So it was set up for the cream of the crop to be able to qualify in the top five going to a smaller number of shows because they just pick the shows that they know are going to have the largest entries. Otherwise, you know, the dog that's out every weekend and beats 10, 12, 14, 16 dogs gets 0 points.
In your grading system for the National Club.
In our grading system, yes.
Right.
So we're having a discussion now in the fact that the number 20 has become a harder and harder achievement.
Right.
Especially at all breed shows because we've all wised up and we're going, you know, we're not a rich breed. And if we want a chance at being number one, rather than spending tens of thousands of dollars of sending a dog out with a handler, there's a bitch that's not my bitch, not my breeding, but they just started showing her this summer and she came out, won a best in show all breeds, and then went with a handler in California. And that handler flew to Georgia, flew to Tennessee, flew to Pacific Northwest, and did all the California specialties in a period of 2 months. And she won 90% of them. And she's a very nice, I mean, she won best in show at an all breed show. And I think she has another reserve best, but those were like the two only all breed shows she went to.
Okay.
But that's what we've gotten to, where the people that don't have dogs good enough, quality-wise, not mm-hmm. just type, but quality-wise, quit entering the specialty shows because, well, I think they know in their hearts their dogs are not good enough, but they're too stubborn to go out and get a better dog, and they know that they can go to the all-breed shows, and they can pick up their points, and sometimes if they all get together, they can make themselves a major under judges that most of the breeders don't feel have an eye for our breed.
Right.
And then the dogs that are better quality dogs don't enter under those judges because we don't respect their opinion. So that's where the difference is in our breed.
Okay.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Heads up, crew. Pure Dog Talk is thrilled to welcome Embark as a major sponsor of the podcast. So Embark Veterinary is a DNA testing service that's focused on helping breeders and purebred dog enthusiasts understand and improve the genetic health of their dogs. After using Embark's simple cheek swap process, breeders receive an easy to understand, comprehensive report on the genetic health, diversity, and the traits of their dogs. Cool. As part of this report, breeders also gain access to Embark's breeder-exclusive matchmaking tool, and that allows them to assess potential mates and better understand litter outcomes from possible breeding pairs. Extra cool. Embark makes it easy to understand your dog's DNA results by providing breeders with access to an in-house team of veterinary geneticists. Extra, extra cool. For individualized genetic counseling and personalized guidance on how best to apply your dog's Embark results to your breeding program. From improving the long-term health of your breeding program to increasing genetic diversity in your breed, Embark is with you every step of the way.
By the way, you guys, if you're coming to the garden this year, join Embark on Sunday, February 9th, for their breeder appreciation event to enjoy complimentary cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. You can go to the Embark for Breeders Facebook page to RSVP.
We need to kind of wrap this up a little bit, but I want to get just like a quick response from each of you. I've heard some really good suggestions about things that your clubs and your breed are doing in terms of, I love that ranking system that the collies have. I love the ROM program that the bull terriers have. I love the growing number of Stafford breed judges, I think is really outstanding. So these are positive, useful things that we can do in our breeds to help improve quality of our dogs, correct quality of our dogs. So my final question for each of you, and this is just a brief thought from each of you, how do we help all breed judges who want to do better? Because frankly, most of them would like to do better. They just don't have the knowledge. What is each of your suggestions for those people who want to improve, who want to know more about your breeds? Marcy.
Okay, because we have so many specialties in the winter time, and there aren't as many all breed shows during the heavy winter months here in the Midwest. I think if these judges would just go to a specialty show, that they wouldn't have to travel that far, because you can go to Chicago, you can go to Wisconsin, St. Louis, you can go to Columbus, Ohio, you can go to Maryland, you know, and just call someone in the national club and they will direct you to where the nearest specialty shows are. And we have people at those shows that would be more than happy to do some ringside mentoring.
Okay.
And there's a lot of breeders that attend those shows that would be thrilled if an all-breed judge would come to our show and ask them, can I go over your dogs when you're done judging?
Right. Okay, good. I like that. Even in my breed, the only way you're going to get to see a quality entry is to go to the nationals. So that makes complete sense to me. David.
It's along the same lines. I mean, first of all, you know, there's a burden I think that judges should take upon themselves, and that's to continue their education.
Yes.
And one of the ways to do that is what you've just put forth, which is continue to go to specialties that are involved with breeds that you're trying to improve on. But, you know, in order to make that an effective thing, I think there's a component that comes back to the breed clubs themselves. And that is that if there was some mechanism that AKC required of judges to do something like that, then the breed club
exactly.
could be honest enough to put in the effort to provide knowledgeable people within the breed. And getting back to this thing about hands-on, use dogs that are being shown that weekend as specific examples of the breed. And that means being honest in your evaluation and your commentary on those dogs. It's no good to have the dog in front of you and then you don't want to say anything bad about it to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about education here. And so you have to be able to have the dog in front and be very honest about it. Here's the good points and here's the not so good points, and get those into your head.
Right. Absolutely. Jason?
Approach my breed as you would want me to approach yours. I think that's the key. Judge it as you would want me to judge yours. And David has said it, and I want to thank him for pointing it out, that it's upon the judge and not really the AKC to continue their own education. There isn't anything in place once the educational requirements have been met for a judge to continue to learn more about a breed. And what Marcy said earlier about it often takes a judge some time to get in front of a lot of collies, for instance, to learn what that true correct expression really is. Well, they've already got their education out of the way by the time they get in front of all those colleagues. So it is incumbent upon the judge, and it's a relationship between the judge and the parent club, really. And so I'm in favor of having a continuing education credit, whether it be something special like the ROM system, and maybe it doesn't have to be as elaborate as the ROM system, but just some sort of recognition that each parent club could do to give maybe a higher status or a higher recognition an incentive for judges to obtain something else above and beyond the simple 30 years ago, I went and passed the test for this breed. So therefore,
you
know, for the rest of my life, I'm qualified to judge it.
I kind of like this incentive concept. Like, I'm going to learn. Yeah, I like this. Marcy, did you have something on that?
Yes, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that impresses a breeder more than an all-breed judge to come to a specialty and ask questions. Nothing. Because then we feel that you actually have a vested interest in our breed. And judges who have done that will see an increase in the entry of that breed under them. Mm-hmm. Because we talk.
Right.
And we say, did you know so-and-so came to the specialty last weekend and actually asked us questions and asked to go over dogs?
Right.
And suddenly there's 20 more dogs entered under that judge the next time that they're judging.
Right. David, did you have something?
Yeah, Laura, you know, you're asking for solutions. And one of the things that I think we're discussing here is maybe if AKC could implement a sort of ongoing recognition of further education that a judge has taken upon themselves within a breed. And therefore, you know, to achieve a level of, like, you know, there's an asterisk against that particular breed where that judge has achieved a higher level of education in that breed.
I love this. See, I'm all about solutions. If we can have a platinum grand champion dog, why can't we have a platinum grand champion judge?
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm dead serious.
Absolutely.
AKC, shout out. Y'all listen?
Yeah, because I always will give an entry to a judge who takes the time to watch our breed.
Right. David, yes?
One of the disappointments I had as a judge was the AKC, when they came out with that system, did not allow the judges the choice whether to award these points or not. We were told that you will award them whether you really think this is a special champion or not.
Right.
And so that's a shortcoming in the current system. And it gets back to my original comment about, you know, it's more important to have people have confidence in the win that they have, that it's really a prestigious win based on various elements. And, you know, that's one of them. I mean, people like to show because they like to be recognized that they've got a really special dog. And the more we can introduce to shows, judging, whatever, that there really is meaning to that particular win, the more people will be interested in it.
Absolutely love that. And the other thing that I like that I wanted to just kind of put a pin in, Silverwood, the critiques from Silverwood, I just was researching our show today. Critiques from Silverwood are posted on the website for the last 5 years. Fabulous. Absolutely love that.
As a ROM judge, you're not allowed to judge a ROM show unless you commit to doing the critique of the dog.
Love that.
That kind of tells people, well, that you know what you're doing as well.
Right. Jason, did you have something?
We do the same thing with the Staffordshire Bull Terrier Club of America. I did the last day of the national specialty on Sunday, and we have all of the critiques that are posted on our website. And speaking of things that we can do and solutions here, and this one falls back on breed clubs. Anyone who is on the judges education committee or involved with the website, with their breed club, consider doing this. Have a judges education section on your website, because you don't know when a judge is going to be wandering on there. And if there's something that you want them to know and you want to get information out, at least make it available. Because as David says, it's incumbent upon the judge to do further research and continuing education themselves. You want to at least make sure that it's there and the correct information, whatever it is that you think is important or lacking in your breed, is available for the judges. So please put it on your website and put it under a special section just for judges.
Right. No, that's a great one. All right, you guys, I really, really appreciate your time and your thoughtfulness and your insight. And I encourage everyone who wants to learn about a breed, go to a specialty. I think it's a great way to learn. Again, thank you guys. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. You.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.